This is the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. Each week, Diana Winston, or one of our UCLA Mindful teachers, offers a talk about mindfulness to deepen our understanding and cultivate well-being. Thanks for joining us.
Okay, so I want to talk today about what I'm calling mindfully navigating the holidays. How can we bring our practice to the next month or so? And just so you know, this is the last class for before the end of the year because we don't have someone next week, and so we'll be back in early January. So that's why I really wanted to get this in, like mindfully navigating the holidays, because this is it starts now. So I want to acknowledge that the holidays can be complex, right? They can be a mix of joy and beauty and tenderness and stress and difficulties. And it's, as I saw when I kind of surveyed the group, there's a range. Like some people are very, seem like it's not stressful at all. Others says it's very, said it was very stressful thinking about what's coming up. For some of us, it changes day to day. We don't actually know what's coming. And regardless of whether this is, the holidays are very stressful to you or just mildly, I think that you'll find some practices and tools for working with whatever arises. And just know that it's completely natural if you're a person who has struggled with the holiday season. That's a very, very normal thing that happens to many people, and it's it can be a very fraught time, you know, and for a lot of reasons, which I'm going to talk about. So I just want you to know that if you are having a hard time during the holiday time, you're not alone. Many of us do, and it could be mixed. It could be I'm having a hard time, but it's also joyful, right? It could be all of those things. And I also, what I have seen with the holidays is they tend to amplify what is already present. So if we're dealing with some difficult feelings right now because of something that's going on, the holidays just amp it up, right? It's more difficult during the holiday times. If we've had loss, for instance, it just gets magnified. If our family patterns that may be challenging on a regular basis, they can be more challenging during the holidays. Our hopes and expectations can be higher during the holidays, more amplified. So this is there's something about this time of year that sometimes people get a little like nutty, you know, and I don't know if you've experienced that, but within yourself or with your relatives or your kids or your parents or family, but I just want to acknowledge that this is a time when that happens because there's a lot of it's very loaded time, you know. The holidays, it's supposed to be a time of family and connection and community and good food, and you know, and for a lot of us that's not what it is, or we have these memories of what it used to be like, that maybe it was wonderful at one point, but then it got really bad, or maybe it was never good, or right. So it's like very layered in our psyche, the holiday season. I just want to acknowledge that. And then what we can do is use our mindfulness practice to explore whatever we're experiencing with kindness, with compassion, and learn to really show up for ourselves so we can navigate the season with more. Just a little bit more capacity than we might have otherwise. So the obvious kinds of things that we experience are emotional challenges, which I'll talk about in a little bit, and then relational and interpersonal challenges. Those are the probably the two biggest ones. But then there's also things like challenges related to financial stress. Right, a pressure to spend or to give, or you know, there's financial pressure this time of year. It's the end of the year. There's the pressure because it's the end of the year period, and there's like work demands for many of us, and there's not a lot of downtime, and we're trying to get, you know, get things accomplished. And then there's the stress of travel and the logistics around that. And we know, traveling has not been easy these days. And I don't know what it's going to be like this holiday season. Hopefully it'll be better, but delays and crowds and unpredictability and being with everybody in the midst of their holiday feelings and experiences. And then our routines are challenged. So if we have children, for instance, they're not in school, so we're not getting certain kinds of childcare support, or we're losing, or for ourselves, we have rhythms that get thrown off for good reasons. Like, oh, we're great, we're not, there's no school, it's wonderful, it's a vacation. But for a parent, that might be really rough. And we're changing, maybe changing the sleep or the diet, or in less time for solitude and the things that we normally do to take care of ourselves. I mean, some people, some meditators say that during, like, they go on a visit to their family for the holidays, and their normal daily meditation practice is just like doesn't happen because it's just too chaotic, or there's not a place for them to meditate, or there could be so many different reasons. So I just want to acknowledge some of those, and I'm not going to talk so much about how to work with them mindfully because I think the other things I'm going to say are going to apply, but just to recognize, like, oh, that's one reason things are stressful. But the more internal and emotional related challenges are very varied. So they can be things like feelings of loneliness or disconnection. So for some of us, it's the holidays, it's like too much people. And for others, there's not enough people, or no people, right? So some of us live alone, or our family is no longer with us, or we don't connect to our families, or, so it can, there can be those type of challenges around feeling lonely or disconnected. This is a time of year, I kind of mentioned this already, but if there has been loss, such as such as death, such as divorce, estrangement, things like that, that can look really intense in light of the holidays. Like this, I know with one of my friends, this was her first Thanksgiving without her mother, who had passed away this year. So that gets magnified, right? It all gets amplified. There's the stress. There may just be like a kind of a, I don't know how to put it, but just like a low affect. It's like, ah, some people do not like this time of year at all, and it just feels sort of depressing. Others feel like, I'm not depressed, but I feel the pressure to be happy. I'm not happy. I'm not, right? I don't know if any of this sounds familiar to you all. I'm kind of trying to give like a wide range of what is possible. Sometimes there's a sense of perfectionism and feeling responsible for other people's experience. Oh, I'm making this whole event for my family. It has to be perfect. Or I hope to give my kids the kind of holiday that I had for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever it is, or solstice, or, and so we can put a lot of expectations on ourselves. And then we also might be looking back at the year and judging ourselves harshly and thinking, I could have done better. Why didn't I meet my goals? Right. So that might ha also add to it. I hope I'm not depressing you all and you're like, I didn't even think of that. And now I feel really bad. So, anyway, there's a lot that could be happening. So, how do we bring mindfulness? How do we bring mindfulness right into the heart of these internal challenges? And the first one, of course, is just the awareness of what is going on. That when we're having the emotion, knowing that it's normal, and I think that's a big piece of it, because we often think, oh, I shouldn't be having this emotion, or it's the holidays, I'm supposed to be happy or something. But actually, it's, as you can see, I hope I've laid out why it's more complex than that. So when we can use the practices that you've learned through mindfulness to become aware of the difficult emotions when we're having them, and just label them, feel them in their body, in your body. Noticing, oh, what's here? Okay, loneliness is here. Oh, take a breath. What does loneliness feel like? Oh, it feels intense. There's a tightness in my chest and vibration in my stomach, and there's heat. Okay, this is loneliness. What, can I be present with loneliness and bringing a little kindness to yourself? Many of we've talked over the years about the RAIN practice: recognize, allow, investigate, and not identify with. So recognizing when you're having the emotion, what's here? Oh, grief is here, or loneliness is here, or perfectionism is here, or whatever it is. And then the A is allow. Can we allow it to be here? For whatever's happening right now, can I just let this be here? From the perspective of mindfulness, everything we're experiencing is just part of life. It's not, there's nothing wrong with it. It may be something we don't want to be experiencing, but see, we can allow, see if we can allow it to be there. And then the I investigate what's happening in my body and mind in this moment. Oh, my heart is racing, my stomach is clenched, I'm having these repetitive thoughts, I'm feeling bad about myself, I'm totally behind, I'm so nervous, I'm, whatever is going on, just being aware and investigating. And then the N, non-identifying with, not taking so personally, and also nurturing, being kind to ourselves, taking a moment. There's a beautiful thing, I can't remember if I've ever taught it, but it's called the self-compassion break. Where you just, you're feeling, you're upset about something. In the end, the nurture is just take a moment. You can put your hand on your chest. You don't have to, but you could, and just pause and acknowledge that you're suffering. Yeah, suffering is here. Grief is here. Loneliness is here. Worry is here. And then offer yourself a little kindness. I am not alone. This is rough, but I'll get through it. And that's like a 5-second practice that we can do in the midst when we notice these difficult emotions coming up. Of course, there's having our daily practice is going to be a support for anything we deal with during the holidays and in general, right? So if we're, if it having a daily practice reminds ourselves to go back to the basics, to what's important, to finding a way to calm and still our mind and or not even still our mind, but just be aware of our mind, just giving us the tools that we can use on the spot. And if you remember, there's formal and there's informal practice. So the formal practice is when we sit down and we meditate, or we might do a walking meditation or whatever it is. But the informal practice is applying it in the moment or when mindfulness appears. And so this little self-compassion practice can be a great thing to do in a moment. And then just finding a moment of mindfulness, no matter what. Most of stop, take a breath, observe, proceed. What's happening? We'll do a few of these things before the end of the our time together. Feeling your feet on the ground. Just okay, I'm feeling anxious. I haven't done all the shopping I was supposed to do. I mean, this is right. I mean, just using a silly example, but we can feel that, oh no. Pause, take a breath. We can stop, take a breath, observe. My heart's racing. I'm feeling really nervous. My teeth are clenched. I'm okay, take a breath and then pee, calm, another breath, calm, and proceed with more awareness or just feeling my feet on the ground, making contact with the chair. The RAIN stands for recognize, allow, investigate, and the N is not identify with or nurture. And I have a lot of talks on working with RAIN and the meditation practice. If you go to the UCLA Mindful app, just search, do a search for RAIN, and you'll find talks and meditations on that. So some basic things we can do in the moment, and also just knowing that these things are coming through us, they're arising and passing, they're moving through us, they're not permanent, they're not going to stay here forever, but these are emotions that come and they're conditioned by the season. They're conditioned, of course, by our history and all of that. But if we can remember, like, okay, it's a hard time of year, just take a breath, I can get through this. And that's something that I've caught for a long time. We talk about what I call enlisting the wisdom mind, enlisting the wisdom mind. So, using mindfulness to notice what we're feeling when we're feeling it, taking a pause, and then bringing our wisdom mind in to say, like, I'll get through this, or it's just the holiday season, or it doesn't have to be perfect, or this too shall pass. These are ways that we can soothe ourselves in the midst of challenging emotions when during harder times. And then, the last suggestion is like, so we're dealing with a lot of challenges, but we can also use mindfulness to savor the beauty of this time. And one of the things I notice is like, it just goes so fast, right? Like it's the holiday season. Like, all right, it was, Thanksgiving, the Christmas music started up the next day. I mean, so for some, it started even before that in one of the stores I was in. But anyway, it starts up and then boom, it just goes. And there's so much to do, and we're kind of just in this space of this space of holiday time. And it's often easy to miss the beauty of it. And that's really what this time is about. It's really about family and connection and sacred moments. And so how can we use our mindfulness to slow down a little bit more to savor the beauty that when you, I don't know, when you're lighting a candle, that you pause and you look at the light and you just see it with, just bring awareness to it. Or when you're with a child who opens a present, that you just take in their smile and their joy, that we don't miss the beauty of this time. And so it's like so we use mindfulness. So three things. So one is just having a daily practice, right? Applying mindfulness in these moments when we're having a hard time, and that's through self-compassion or rain or for getting more grounded or stop. I'm mentioning a lot of things. We'll practice some of them in a little bit. And then the third is the savoring practice, like just don't let it go by and it's over, Let it affect you. So that's some ways that we can explore how to bring our mindfulness practice to this one area, which is sort of our internal world. And the second area, well, I guess this is third because I already mentioned all the other stuff too, the logistical issues of this time. But the third area is the area of relational and interpersonal challenges. Okay, like family conflict, political tensions, boundaries, caregiving, belonging, all that fun stuff that may be heading our way for some of us. So I know that when we're dealing with our families, our families are just this, like you think you're really like a great meditator, but then just go be with your family for a little while. Things change, right? It's just our old patterns get triggered, and we often behave in ways that we cannot believe, and we feel like teenagers again sometimes, right? So that's one thing that can happen, particularly if we go home. Let's say you go home to a parent's house and you're living with a parent, or you're a parent with a child coming home to you. Everybody starts acting like you're all like the kids are 12 and the parents are a long time ago. You know what I mean? It's very natural. We have this habitual pattern. So old family patterns reemerge. There other challenges might be that we have different viewpoints. We have different political, like there I've heard story after story of families where they feel some people don't want to go home because their viewpoints are so different than other family members. And it feels really charged and really personal, and it's hard to have an be open-hearted in the midst of it, especially when you're just feeling really, really different than other family members. I mentioned already getting triggered or misunderstood. Like sometimes there's issues of, well, I'll go into those in a moment, but let's just talk about specifically when we're like kind of conflict arising with families. And sometimes there's pressure to like try to fix other people. If only I could just get that one family member to meditate, then things would be great. Or to defend ourselves, or there's just a lot of Projection, triggering, those kinds of things. So here's a couple of mindfulness tools for that time of life and of like if we're visiting family for the holidays. And I want to acknowledge there may be people, I said this earlier, who don't have family to visit, and that is its whole other level of triggering, right? And so when I say triggering, I just mean like having emotional activation. That word triggering is a little bit of a buzzword, but you know what I mean, right? But so the people who are dealing with like, I don't have a family and I wish that I did, you can work with the first half, and the people who are dealing with being with people where there's challenges, we can work with the second half. So what are some mindfulness tools? One is pausing before reacting. This is a big one, right? Like, you're sitting at the table and your uncle says this thing, and you just know that is the stupidest thing you've ever heard in your life. And instead of saying, I mean, there's so many things we could do at that moment, but what about from a mindfulness, we could just respond and be snarky. We could like kick our sibling under the table. We could try to shame them. I mean, there's many things we might do. What if instead we just, oh wow, I'm really, really activated. And what's happening in my body? My heart is really tense, and my stomach, and I'm really kind of irritated. And we might take a few breaths, letting ourselves settle. And just that pausing can make all the difference, right? Because what happens is we're acting out of our reactivity. And I like to define reactivity as acting out of our habitual patterns without consciousness. The relative says something that you think is really awful, and you just immediately get self-righteous and say something snotty back, or I'm never going to talk to them again. I can't believe them. We're so different, or whatever. So that pause is so central for working with the reactivity, that reactivity, and just taking a moment before things begin to escalate, letting our nervous system settle a little bit before speaking. And then it's interesting that the second piece might be to, I'm not going to counsel you all to try to win people to your side, because that probably is not going to work. But what you might want to do from a mindfulness perspective is just bring in a little bit of curiosity. Like, just what is there something we have in common? Like, I totally disagree with their political view. But I think they want something. Maybe there's something in what they're saying that is also what I'm wanting. Like, oh, they want safety. And I want safety too. And they think differently about how to get safety. What are they needing? What are they protecting? So it's almost just like a mental, and this is if you want to. And by the way, you don't have to do this at all. I'm just kind of giving you some ideas. And trust me that I have made choices not to do this times in my life where I got sort of entangled in my self-righteousness, and that relative's a jerk and we'll never see eye to eye, and so I'm just not going to talk about anything with them. That's important, so that is a there that is something that many of us do. But it's just like a curiosity about what is the common thread, like what is that person needing or protecting. And so we shift from like being right to understanding. It's kind of an interesting perspective. And I'll tell you a funny story. When I was there was an election. It was not the recent one, but a number of years ago, where my a family member voted for the person that I did not vote for, and I was just furious. I couldn't believe that she voted for this person. I was like horrified, and I got so mad I just stopped talking to her. And she didn't live near me, so it wasn't like an issue. She lives like on the other side of the country, and I just was like, ah, oh, self-righteous. And then at a certain point, there was this sense in me like, I do love her. I definitely don't agree with her. And I can see all the reasons why she's wrong. And you know, I had all these stories about it, but I just thought, I think I just want her to hear how I feel and hear and learn how she feels. So like 8, 9 months later, I call her up and I said, hey, can we talk about this? It was hard for me when we voted so differently, but can I tell you why this is important to me? And she could listen. She really did. And then I listened to her and she told me why it was important to you. And I said, and it just felt like it didn't change either of our opinions. It didn't, but it brought the connection back. And then what happened was I said, you know, I feel so much better since I haven't talked to you for like 8 months. And she said, we haven't talked in 8 months. She didn't know. But nonetheless, I felt like I was seeing her in her humanity, even though I do not agree. I still don't agree with her. But I wasn't making her the enemy just because we did something different. So we can practice curiosity, trying to find something that we can land on where we see we need together, maybe just an idea, and we can try to speak with kindness and non-defensiveness, but that does not mean in any way like letting yourself be like a doormat or something, like just because you're trying to be kind, it doesn't mean that they get to like be in any way hurtful to you. Like that, no, you still are going to protect yourself and your heart and paying attention to yourself and your own grounding and your own boundaries, even as the other person speaks, like what's happening inside me. And knowing with your own boundaries, like this is their view and it doesn't define me. And it can just be helpful sort of to like bring a lot of awareness right into that moment with a difficult person. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is like your job for this holiday season. I'm just suggesting that this is a place of a lot of suffering. And so we can apply our mindfulness practice here, and you don't have to, definitely don't have to do it perfectly. And there's always what some colleagues of mine call walking away with wisdom, which is leaving a conversation when you're too activated, you know, and it's just being really mindful. Like, I'm just going to explode and I need to get space and it's going to be too hard. So these are just some ways of playing with this. I'm going to give you a couple more since I'm giving like an overview of places in relation that this might show up. But that one was the big one that I really wanted to touch in. So I'll just do a couple of little ones. Some of the things that show up during the holiday season are people pleasing, difficulty saying no, feeling guilt or responsibility for other people's emotions. Overcommitting, right? I don't know if any of that speaks to any of you. So one of mindfulness tools that we can do is to practice noticing our bodies when we feel that we're overcommitting or that there's somebody's asking for more than we can give. And like, what are those early signals like irritation, fatigue, tightness in my body? There's many, many ways in which that might show up. So just to pay attention to that with our mindfulness, use clear speech. I won't be able to attend, but thank you for inviting me. Or I can come and I can bring chips. You know, you don't have to make like the most fancy thing, but finding your own boundaries and clarity of what you want to do and what you can do. So, I mean, I could spend too much time in this, I think, because I feel like there's so much meat in the other stuff and it's going to take longer. But there's one other piece I want to hit, which is that I think I've seen a lot of suffering in the holidays is So many people I know, especially people who've done growth and work on themselves, feel like when they go back to their families that they're not seen, you know, that they don't know who they are, that like that the family doesn't know who they are, and that it's very hard. It's a very kind of strange situation, but it's like when I'm with my friends, I feel like I'm totally me. But when I'm with my family, I just feel like nobody really knows me. I feel othered. That's a way of talking about it. I feel like my identity is in some way just not seen. I don't know if this makes sense to some of you. And I just want to encourage you, if this is a situation, that you really, one, stay connected to your body, notice the emotions that arise. Hold your experience with tenderness and care, and make sure to put in other connection with like a good friend that you can call, or nature, or meditation, or whatever it is that's going to support you. So the final things to say about all of this is that everything we're feeling during this holiday time is conditioned by it being the holiday time. And everything is impermanent, and it's coming and going, and it's shifting. And, you know, someone said, oh, well, it depends what happens. It depends day to day whether it's hard, and who knows what's going to come our way. But we do know that if challenges arise, whether they're logistical, inner, or interpersonal, that suffering is eased when we meet the experience and show up for ourselves, and that we're compassionate with ourselves, and then we can be compassionate with others. And we can also know that the holidays don't require us to be perfect at all, only present. Right? That's the one thing. Like, can I show up the best I can? And I just want to encourage you to bring gentleness and self-compassion, and to just really show up for yourself in a way that matters, that make this time be a time that feels really healthy for you and your loved ones. Okay. So I'm going to pause for a second to see if there are any questions about anything I said, and then we'll do a little bit of a meditation practice around this. Make sense? I really like what you said about noticing your body when you're asked to do something people pleasing. Can we delve into this more in a future session? Yeah, that's a great idea. I kind of shortchanged it today, but I'll put it on my list of like working with people pleasing and boundaries, things like that. Okay, what about grief and family members who have cut off contact? Yeah. So there may be, this is a time, like I said, where grief can get magnified because it's the holiday season. And especially, for instance, if there's been loss or death or estrangement or divorce, and, you know, we're not together, or there's grief for whatever is going on in your life. And then we're here in the holidays, and it's like a tsunami of grief. And so really the principles are the same, but grief is an intense emotion, and so for instance, doing this practice, as I mentioned, like having a daily meditation practice, doing the rain when you feel the grief, you recognize, you notice the grief is here, you allow it to be here, you investigate what's happening in your body, and then you nurture, like bring some kindness to yourself. Well, I know this is a hard time. Remember, enlisting the wisdom mind around stuff like, oh wow, I'm so sad this time of year. It's actually the saddest time of year. And But I will get through this. I will get through this. And not shutting the sadness down, or, mindfulness, we're never trying to get rid of feelings. We're trying to allow to have spaciousness and openness and allow things to be here. And when we can do that, it doesn't hold kind of like intensity. It sort of, we are able to hold it like a kind parent who can hold a child who is crying. When a child is crying, a good parent, I mean, I'm sure we've all done things that I'm going to say don't do, but that doesn't, a kind parent, when a child is crying, doesn't go, "Stop feeling that. You shouldn't be feeling it. What's wrong with you?" Or, here's a cookie. Don't cry." Or, right, like a wise parent knows that the child just needs to feel their feelings. And we can allow ourselves to be the wise parent to ourselves or wise caregiver and let the our inner our child, I know inner child such like a kind of old school buzzword, but allow that small young part of us to just be in the grief. It's okay. I have a le couple of lectures on grief and sadness and stuff, and you can go on to the UCLA Mindful app. There's some meditations. Just again, do a search for that. It's helpful. So the second part of your question was family members who have cut off contact. That may be the reason why we have the grief. Same thing. What does missing them feel like? Can I hold the grief? And sometimes with the family members who've cut out contact, there's grief because there's love. We love them so much and they've cut off contact. Ah. And so can we feel both the grief and the love, and we can send loving kindness to them? May you come around. May you know you're loved. May we reconnect, right? Using the phrases and words, there are ways to play with that. So, yeah, I know it can be rough. Someone said holidays are hard for me due to past trauma. I'm estranged, right? So this is what we're talking about. Thank you for this. It's helpful. And also, don't forget, holidays can be a time of like fun, joy. Remember I said, like, and also take the joy where you got it. Some people love holiday music, just play it, blast it if you like it. Some people hate it, don't play it, don't blast it. Some people love, I don't know, we our family, we love to drive around and look at like decorations. Like that's a really fun thing. There's a place in LA, I'm sure everybody from LA knows, called Candy Cane Lane, where I've taken my daughter since she was little, and every single house is done up, and there's some clause in people's agreement when they buy the house that they have to decorate their house on in the Christmas holidays. And it's like, it's incredible. You just walk down and there's, or maybe it's the food, or maybe it's cooking and it's really fun. You enjoy that. Or eating. Come on, everybody likes to eat for the most, not everybody, but for the most part, right? So take the joy where you can. Yeah, and be with kids if you can. That's one way to get it. I'm at the phase, my daughter's 16. This is the first year I haven't experienced the like crazy Christmas joy that a little kid has, and she's much more just like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, do you want to decorate? And we do like Christmas, Hanukkah, we do everything, right? And it's like, she's like, no, yeah, I'll do it later, mom, I'll do it later. So I've been dealing with a little bit of my own grief about her not being so into it this year, and I keep kind of waiting. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I just be with myself. Yeah, okay, it's different. Things change. Children grow up and there's joy. And we'll I just yeah, we just see and try to be as present as I can. Okay, so I want to do a little meditation where we just sense and connect with ourselves around this season and see what emerges. All right. So let's take a moment to connect in with ourselves, taking some breaths. Noticing what's here, feeling our body, heart, mind, what's stirring in you after hearing this. So, of all the many challenges I mentioned, and I did mention a lot, is there one that really stands out to you that you're dealing with at this time of year? And there may not be anything, but if there is, like, what is that thing? And see what pops into your mind. There may be more than one, but just pick one. And when you think about this challenge, how do you feel in your body if you just think about, oh gosh, I'm really not looking forward to seeing my uncle or whatever, you know? Is it personal? Is it inter? Oh, I'm dealing with grief and sadness and loss already, and the holidays are going to amplify it. Oh, traveling, getting on an airplane, you know, whatever it is. See if you can find your little sore spot. Let's take a breath. Feeling our feet on the ground, feeling our hands. And just notice what you're feeling. Maybe there's some irritation, frustration, worry, dread. That's a pretty common thing. Grief, anxiety. See if you can allow whatever is here to be here. So, even just practicing rain in a simple way, can you recognize what it is? Give it a label. What are you feeling about this thing? And they a allow. Can I allow it to be here? Like, just let myself feel it. Feel the sadness, feel the dread. Where do you notice it? So the eye is investigating our bodies. What's here? My heart's racing. My stomach is clenched. Feel heaviness. Stomach is tight. See if you can breathe and allow it to be here. And just, yeah, there's dread is here. You might even say, is it okay? You might ask yourself, is it okay to be aware of just this? Letting it be here. Breathing. Notice your feet on the ground. And what happens if you make space for this? And now let's see if you can bring a little kindness to yourself. So the end, the nurture. Not take it so personally, but how can I bring some kindness to myself? And this might be enlisting the wisdom mind, like telling yourself, I'll get through this, or putting your hand on your heart and taking a breath, or, well, I can handle this. I can handle it, or I know it's going to be hard, but I'll get through this. Whatever you want to say to yourself, or just bring some loving kindness. Notice how you're feeling. And if it starts to feel intense, you can always open your eyes. You don't have to stay here. Just trust yourself around this. So now I'd like you to imagine the same situation, but handling it with equanimity, with calm, with kindness to yourself, capacity, with mindfulness. If you were to imagine that the same situation, whether it's an internal or external one, how do you handle that with mindfulness? What would you do? So just really imagine going through the scenario, or imagine the feeling held with awareness and kindness. Is there something you might want to say or do? Just think what that might be. Maybe it emerges. Notice how you're feeling with this alternate acting out of the situation. What happens? Lastly, think of one thing you like about the holiday season. Just pick one simple thing. And just imagine it's right here and present for you and enjoy it, savor it. It's not here. Obviously, we're using our imagination, but what might that be? And how does it feel to the fairy lights or the smell of cooking or a child smiling or your favorite TV show that shows this time of year or whatever it is? Let's see if you can rest in that for a moment. Letting whatever is here be here. For whatever it is I'm feeling right now, can I hold this too with kindness and awareness? Okay, noticing how you're doing. Let's take a breath, feel our feet on the ground, and we can open our eyes or end the meditation. So some people are starting to share a little bit what they did. So I'm curious what came up for you when we did that meditation. Pharaoh, for feeling unseen, I told myself, I'm with you. Oh, that allowed me to enjoy in my imagination the sweet things. That's beautiful. I love that. Anybody else feel like sharing? What happened as we did this meditation? Felt peaceful. I had a feeling because I used my, I mean, normally when I'm leading a meditation, it's hard for me to do it simultaneously, but this issue with my daughter came in and I just thought, you know what, she's growing up, how beautiful, right? Like I could tap into the joy of her becoming like an older adult who life is changing. So that felt sweet for me. I realized that I didn't know how to be different in relationship to a difficult situation, even in mindfulness. And I told myself that's okay not to know. And that brought some ease. I love that. That's fantastic, Cynthia. That's such a kind approach. It's okay. You don't have to have the answer. You don't, and remember, I said this in the beginning, you do not have to do this perfectly. Please do not do it perfectly. I mean, it's impossible. It's a weird time of year. So it's okay not to know. It's okay to do your best. It's okay to even fail. It's fine. We'll just do our best. Okay, everybody. So, couple of things I want to say as we close. The first is a reminder that there will be no class for the next 3 weeks. Our office is closed for 2 weeks, and next week I'm going on a meditation retreat. Woohoo for me. So I'm very excited. So I'll be gone next Wednesday and I'll be on the retreat coming up this week. And then 3 weeks. 3 weeks, and then I think we meet back. The next class will be on Wednesday, the 7th of January. And it'll be me. And there's a special event, a New Year's Eve event that is Mitra Manesh is doing. I don't, if you just go to our website, you'll see that it's coming up. And if you're on the mailing list, which I assume you are, because you know it to be here, there's information about it, and it's on our website. And So that's important. And if you want to do it, Mitra, I don't know if anyone's done it in the past, but it's a wonderful event. She has music and people from all around the world practicing together for New Year's Eve. So I strongly recommend that. And then lastly, we are now just in, we're at a time, it's a time, it's that time of year when people are, it's a time of giving, and we have been offering a lot of things to you because we want to make mindfulness really, really accessible to all of us. And so we made a commitment a few years ago when we started back up as UCLA Mindful that we would offer these classes freely so that no one can, there's no barrier, nobody is turned away. And we're happy to do this. And at the same time, we are, I just want to let you know this is a time that if you have been enjoying this class and feeling nourished and supported by it, this is a time where we can make a donation to UCLA Mindful to support this being free for others into the future and in perpetuity. So if you're open to that, today we had a newsletter inviting you to give, and there's no gift is too small. And if that doesn't feel like something that you are capable to, like it's not possible for you, then totally fine. We want to offer this as freely as we can, but this also gives you an opportunity to practice the generosity in that way. So I'm gonna stick the link. Give me 2 seconds. I'm just gonna stick the, I can do this fast enough. Hang out, hang on for 1 second. Oh, it's going to take me a while. I should have prepared in advance, but Serena's not here. Anyway, you can find it through our website. It's right on our homepage. So lastly, I want to say that, oh, I found it. Okay. Give me 1 second. Paste. That is the donation link. And lastly, I just want to say it's been a delight to be with all of you. I know I saw a lot of you on the weekend class, and I have had so much fun teaching this with you and also bringing in you in some wonderful teachers to support. And it's been great to grow them as teachers. And you've all been an incredible, incredible, what's the word, participant, student, whatever. It's just been so delightful. So I just really wish you ease and well-being over this time, and that we'll reconnect after the holidays. And you have a lot of tools for working with it. Okay. So thank you so much. You can go off mute and we can say goodbye, and I'll see you in early January. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the UCLA Mindful Weekly Lecture. For more information about our classes, workshops, and retreats, please visit uclahealth.org/UCLA Mindful. Join us each week for a new session on mindfulness.